Hello and welcome to the One of a Kind You podcast. This is a podcast where we explore the transformative journey of healing from within. I'm your host, Kim Keen, a certified life coach and holistic healer, and I'm here to share my personal healing journey and provide a supportive space for yours. Whether you're dealing with childhood trauma, emotional wounds, or seeking a path to holistic well-being, you're not alone. Join me each week as we dive into stories, strategies, and insights that will help you feel more connected, empowered, and ready to embrace your own healing journey. Let's walk this path together, one step at a time, and welcome to my community. So I thought I was having an identity crisis because I left my teaching career and was really struggling with not having the identity of being a teacher anymore. And I was really struggling with adjusting to being a stay-at-home mom. So I decided to go to therapy because I felt like I really needed to talk to someone. And I went thinking she was going to say, okay, Kim, here we go. Three easy steps. One, two, three. Check, check, check. And I would be done and well on my way. But that was not the case at all. So it wasn't until I started therapy that I really started to learn about the labels that become attached to us when we're on our mental health journey, like codependency, avoidant, anxious, enmeshed. You name it, they're out there. And so it was this journey of having the therapist give me many labels that really sent me in a direction that I never expected I would go. And it was a struggle, honestly, because those labels became my identity. Everything in my life revolved around those labels. And that was really not something I was prepared for, but it was also really detrimental. And it had such a negative effect on me. But what I didn't realize is that those labels were actually becoming a trap. They were like a 10-pound weight shackled to my ankle that I was literally dragging everywhere I went, because the first label was codependency. And so she said, do you know that you're codependent? And I had never heard that word before, honestly. And so I had no idea. And I was like, well, I don't even know what it means. And so she said, well, it's when you take on other people's emotions. And I thought, okay, that makes sense. I can see that I do that. But what she failed to say is that it's when you take on other people's emotions at the sacrifice of yourself. Was I doing that? Absolutely. But because she gave me this term codependent, and I had never heard it before, and her explanation really didn't give me enough information to like actually grasp onto and say like, yes, this is what I do. Do I take on the other people's emotions? Sure. But like, how does that factor into codependency? What does that really mean? So I went home from my therapy session that day. I had completely forgotten about the label, but it wasn't until the next morning when I was vacuuming the house and doing my morning cleaning routine before I had to go to my girl's school function that I went, oh my gosh, I forgot. I didn't look up codependency. And so I stopped what I was doing, turned the vacuum off, grabbed my phone, and started searching codependency. And I came across a checklist, and I could check yes to every single thing on that list. There was like at least 10 things that would indicate if you were codependent or not. And I could say yes to all of them. And I thought, this can't be. Like, there is no way that I am codependent. Not happening. This is wrong. So of course I exited out of that website and I went on to the next, and I searched and I searched and I searched and I looked and I looked, and sure enough, everything I came across said, yes, Kim, you are codependent. And I became so angry in that moment because I knew exactly where the line of codependency started from. It started from my grandmother, my dad's mom. And she passed the codependency on to him, and he passed it on to me. But double whammy, it was also from my mom's side of the family too. And so I became almost enraged. And here's the kicker. I had to pick my grandmother up to take her to the school function with me. And I had to really put my game face on that day and say like, okay, I can't express this anger to my mom now. I probably will never be able to express this anger to her. But the thing that hurt the most is that we are so close. And when I was going through the struggle with the abusive boyfriend, my grandmother was pretty much the only one who stood by me through thick and thin, unconditionally, no questions asked. So then I had this immense sense of guilt. Like, how can I feel so angry at someone who's been there for me through so much? So I said, okay, I have to go. Off to my mom's house I went. I picked her up. Off to school we went. But I was so angry, and what I realized was like, not necessarily at my grandmother, but at the generations before, because she didn't just become codependent.
her parents created the codependency, and their parents created the codependency, and their parents created. And so it was this long line of generations of codependent people, one after the next. And I thought, didn't someone see this? Didn't someone feel angry about this? Didn't someone want to break the cycle and make a change? Maybe, who knows? But this was at a point in time where mental health wasn't prioritized. They didn't have the language and the words that we have today to describe what they were experiencing and what they were going through. So could they really break the cycle for themselves? Probably not, because they didn't have the tools or the knowledge to do so. They just put their head down, white knuckled their way through, and made the best of what they had. But what also came out of that is addiction. Alcohol addiction, drug addiction, codependency on some form could be considered an addiction. Like, so much dysfunction came out of an unregulated family whose nervous systems were at capacity 24/7. And you have to think, like, my grandmother was born in the 30s, so she was born during the Depression. So it was a hard time. Life was hard. So no wonder they struggled. But the fact that no one along the way could say, hey guys, let's wake up, what we're doing isn't working. But I decided I was going to be the person to do that. And that was not a realization right in that moment when codependency was thrown at me. But in all the searching I did, I came across Melody Beatty. I'll say she's like the codependency pioneer. And I started doing all of the work that she has, reading her books, doing her workbooks. I thought about going to like a codependency support group. I thought about doing all the things. I did do all the things. But here's the thing, I could not recognize in the moment when I was being codependent. And so my therapist gave me tools, metaphorical tools, you know, spray yourself an invisible cooking spray so the strings of codependency slides right off. Carry invisible scissors in your pocket so you can cut away the strings of codependency when they're starting to attach to you. But in all of this, I just couldn't identify when I was being codependent. But what I did do with the label of codependency was everything became about codependency. My husband would trigger me, it's because I'm codependent. I was losing my patience with my kids, it's because I was codependent. I was miserable at family functions, it was because I was codependent. I was stressed out and taking on more tasks than I could handle at one time, it was because I was codependent. Everything was because I was codependent. That was like my classic tagline once she gave me that label of codependency. But that was not the only label. That was not the only trap. So after it was codependent, then it was anxious. Do you consider yourself to be an anxious person? No, I did not. So then I went home, I Googled anxiety, and son of a gun, I could say yes to so many different forms of anxiety. And then that became a label. Well, I'm anxious and codependent. Well, I can't because I'm anxious and codependent. Well, I'm codependent and then I'm also anxious, and so I can't. And so then the next trap was like, do you know that you're affected by childhood emotional neglect? Sure, makes sense. But that became my next label. That became my next trap. Well, I can't because I'm working through childhood emotional neglect. Well, I can't because I'm codependent. Well, that upset me because I'm anxious, or I'm worried because I'm... The trap was so strong. Like, there was no key to unlock the lock anywhere to be found, because all I could do was focus on those labels. And the more I focused on those labels, the more I froze. It stopped me from doing the things that I know I needed to do, that I wanted to do, and that I could do, because inevitably it came back to the trap of the label. But here's the thing, just because you have a label, it doesn't mean that it's your identity. It's not who you are. But every time we say, I am codependent, I am anxious, I am an avoidant, I am suffering from, like, I am, it makes it part of who we are. It becomes our identity. And the more we say it, the more it becomes part of us, and the harder it is to shift out of it. But really, what those labels are, is they're just naming a pattern that we're running. So I wasn't codependent. I was running a pattern of codependency. I wasn't anxious. I was running a pattern of anxiety. The same thing when people say, like, oh, I'm such a people pleaser. No, you're running a pattern of being a people pleaser. Oh my God, I'm such an overachiever. No, you're running a pattern of being an overachiever. And some might say, like, oh, that's such a, like, a black and white, simple way to look at it. But it's the truth. You're running a pattern. And when we can recognize that what we're doing is a pattern, it gives us insight into why we're doing what we're doing, because it's never about the what. So it's not about the codependency. It's not about the avoidance. It's not about the anxiety. That's the what. It's never about that. It's always about the why. And when we stay stuck on that label, when we stay stuck on the identity of codependency or avoidant or anxious or depressed, that keeps us in that label. It keeps us in focus on the what, and then it causes us to freeze because we think, oh my gosh, now what? I am this. I don't have the tools to move beyond this. I always do this because I am this person. And so it immediately puts your foot on the brake, and then we can't get anywhere. But also too, is that we use these labels because on some level they keep us safe. And so when we can recognize that it's actually not who we are as a person, but it's a pattern, that's where we have the magic of saying, okay, this is actually, why am I doing this? I'm doing this because it keeps me safe. I'm doing this because it meets my emotional needs. I'm doing this because this pattern gives me control. So when I was using the label of codependency, I am codependent. On some level, it allowed me to stay in control of the situation by doing nothing, because nothing is still an action. It allowed me to sort of put a wall up and keep myself safe. It allowed me to connect, because then I would say like, oh, I'm codependent. Or, oh my God, I'm so anxious. And then someone else would be like, oh my God, I'm so anxious too. I didn't know that you were anxious. And then we would talk about how we were both anxious and the things that made us anxious. And then it also makes us feel like we matter, because then as soon as I pull the I am codependent, or I am anxious, or I am affected by childhood emotional neglect, I usually got a connective response to someone. My husband would be like, oh my gosh, you know, do you need something? What can I do to help? Do you need to talk? Like, what is it? Oftentimes not knowing what to do for me anyways, but just offering the olive branch. And so that allowed me to have this false sense of connection with other people, but at the same time, it disconnected me from myself, because I stopped listening to what was happening in my gut. I stopped listening to what was in my heart. I didn't do the things that I wanted to do because I was so focused on these labels. And so when we can really step out of identifying as that thing, as that label, it gives us the space to look at it as a pattern. It allows us to take a step back and look at the why. Oh my gosh, why am I running a pattern of codependency? Why am I running a pattern of anxiety? Why am I running a pattern of avoidance? Then that can give us insight into how to move forward. And so that's where it's really important to recognize that whatever label you're giving yourself, it's not who you are, it's a pattern that you're running. And I know you're probably saying to yourself, okay, yeah, I have a label and now what? Or actually, Kim, that's really not right. Like, I really am this thing. I really am anxious. I really am an anxious person. I really have anxiety. I am an avoidant. I am codependent. And I know that probably feels like the absolute truth because you've been saying it for so long, but here's how we can use these to help us. So we can ask ourselves, is this really helping me, or is this hindering me? So if that label is helping you, and not to keep you safe, but it is helping you to grow as a person, it is helping you to contribute to yourself, to your household, to your community, to a larger body of work, then it is helping you. But if it is not allowing you to grow and it is not allowing you to contribute, then chances are it's not helping you, it's actually hindering you. So when I was running the pattern of codependency and I was running the pattern of anxiety, it stopped me in my tracks. I completely shut down. I did not communicate. I became angry, resentful, bitter. I wasn't present. All I wanted to do was escape. And on some level, I was escaping, like in the present moment, just by saying the phrase, I am codependent, I am anxious, but it was allowing me to escape from bigger things. I wasn't taking risks. I was playing it small. I wasn't stepping outside of my comfort zone. I really wasn't growing. I was really stuck in this cycle of having the feeling of codependency and anxiety and lashing out at everyone, including my husband and my kids and myself. Oh my gosh, was I ever so mean to myself? And I was stuck in this loop of having this feeling, not being able to process it, not being able to work through it, shutting down, laying on the couch, trying to hide in my room, and then thinking like, I cannot wait until I get back to the therapist. I really need another therapy session. Going to therapy the next week, talking about how it made me feel, being gaslighted into thinking that I needed medication, and then coming home, feeling like a failure for not being willing to take the medication, and just doing this cycle all over again. It was a constant loop constant. There was no snapping out of it because I was so focused on the what, as was the therapist. She was also focused on the what of codependency. There was no getting to the why. That was not happening. And the why is the root cause. Like, why are you running a pattern of codependency? Why are you running a pattern of anxiety? Why are you running a pattern of avoidance? Getting to that root cause. And that's where the real magic happens. So I'm going to ask you to really look at how you see yourself. What are the labels that you use to identify yourself? Are they serving you? Are they helping you to grow and contribute? If the answer is no, they are hindering you. And then that is the awareness point that you need to move forward to make a change.
So thank you so much for tuning in today to listen to another episode of One of a Kind You. If you would be so kind to leave a review, I'd be so appreciative. I take the time to read all the reviews to ensure that this podcast continues to be a place of support and guidance and a resource that's valuable and helpful. And if this episode was helpful, please feel free to share it with a friend. The more, the merrier.